Over 262 million people live in Indonesia. It's the fourth most populated place in the world. So you can imagine how long the ballot papers would be and how many need to be printed for the country's upcoming national election. Recently, Indonesia signed a free trade deal with Australia, which had been 8 years in the making. But growing concerns over the rise of conservatism and religious fundamentalism threaten to destabilise relations. Ross Taylor AM is the president of the Indonesia Institute and joins us to give us his explanation and analysis. Ross, welcome.
Yes, hello, Patricia.
Well, I have to ask, how long are the ballot papers out of interest?
Well, in the last election in 2014, Patricia, I was fortunate enough. I was in Jakarta and was given an extensive one-day tour of the electoral office, and I left feeling just how very small we are here in Australia. It is absolutely enormous, and when you think that this is this 20-year-old democracy at work, it really, really brings it home to you.
People often talk about Indonesia having had its Barack Obama moment when it elected its current president, Joko Widodo, in 2014. Is it now about to have its Donald Trump moment and move to the right?
Well, I think two things are happening without question, Patricia. I think certainly Indonesia is becoming, in a general sense, more religious. You know, we see this amongst the younger people and all the demographics. There is a more move towards a deeper religious embracement, if you like, within Indonesia. But the big question, I think, Patricia, is it just simply that Indonesians are becoming more religious, or are we witnessing this really significant shift to a far more conservative form of religion? And amongst the experts and commentators, it's a pretty divided response to that. But we certainly have seen some worrying signs, starting with the former governor of Jakarta, Ahok, as he was known, Chinese origin, and he was jailed for blasphemy. But in more recent times, we've seen the former TNI becoming far more active in the election, and of course the rise of some of these really strong fundamentalist groups, calling for Indonesia really towards becoming more of an Islamic state. So we are seeing these moves. It's to what degree that will actually play out.
Can you give us a bit of background information on the presidential candidates? Where do they sit on the political spectrum? I mean, I sort of almost framed a bit of a left-right divide there, but is that really true to what they represent?
Well, certainly the incumbent, Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, as he's well known, still commands a very strong lead and is very, very popular amongst the general population. The main contender against him, of course, is the former hardline general from the Suharto era, Prabowo Subianto. And remembering, as it stands at the moment, Prabowo is still banned from even entering into America because of alleged atrocities occurred under the regime of President Suharto. So he comes with some baggage. And of course, in order to increase their credentials to be elected, both men have been forced to embrace this hard right, hardliners, to which you refer. So it's, generally speaking, the campaign has been very, very messy and quite complex. All the indications should be that the incumbent, Joko Widodo or Jokowi, will win. But there is still quite a big percentage, Patricia, including a lot of young people who are still either undecided or are intending not even to vote. And when you throw the social media mix into this, and that plays a very powerful role in Indonesian politics, one still can't be certain that Prabowo Subianto might have a Dr. Mahathir moment where out of the blue he could come up and actually win. And if that happened, of course, it would turn the political situation in the whole region really on its head.
What impact could growing conservatism and Islamic fundamentalism have on Indonesia's diplomatic relations? Look, you know, I'm always looking through the lens of Australia. We're Radio National. We have an Australian lens. More broadly, I mean, if it makes that shift, what are the implications for everyone else?
Well, if they did, it would be huge. And we already know in the moment, in the province of Aceh, you know, we actually have Sharia law, but that was done for a whole range of other reasons. As I said, there is definitely a shift to a more religious approach within Indonesia. But certainly, my own opinion, and that I think of some mostly learned people, is that to suggest that Indonesia is heading towards an Islamic state or to be ultra conservative is probably a little bit overstated. We Australians in this region are very fortunate that generally speaking, again in my view, that the majority of Indonesians still embrace what we call a moderate form of Islam, despite the noise that has been made by these hardliner groups. So my own personal feeling is that that whilst we are seeing this more conservative approach to religion, that we shouldn't be overly concerned that Indonesia is really heading into dangerous hardline Islamic territory.
Just a final question on the implications for the Indonesia-Australia free trade deal. The ABC has been reporting today that there could be huge implications because Indonesia's vice presidential challenger recently said he intends to make changes to the deal if he's successful. How concrete is the deal? Is that a live option now?
Well, as we know, the deal has now been formally signed, but of course, for both countries, it now has to be promulgated through both parliaments. And I think it's a good question because one of the reasons why neither Scott Morrison or Jokowi were at the signing, Patricia, was obviously both men are very busy with their pre-election campaigns. But the other reason is in both sides of the relationship, there are elements within the respective parliaments and their own team that are very much against free trade agreements. So, and Indonesia is no different. Prabowo Subianto and also Sandy, as he's referred to as the vice president, have certainly said there are aspects of the trade agreement they don't like at all. We have a little way to go, and it's probably going to take another 12 months to get these through Parliament. The deal is really important for Australia and Indonesia, so we're really, really hopeful that common sense will prevail and it can be consummated in the respective parliaments and be passed into law. In the meantime, business is just getting on with it because the relationship is certainly underdone and there's some huge opportunities, particularly for Australia in this deal.
Ross, thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Patricia.
Ross Taylor AM is the president of the Indonesia Institute, and this is RN Drive.